Well, the jobs report came out Friday, and there's no question about it. We are seeing a slowdown in the pace of new hires. Now, one of the reasons for that is a lot of the labor slack that was in the system has drained out of the system as new jobs have been taken and as the unemployment rate has gone down. It's now at the lowest rate in 16 years. The unemployment rate now is down to 4.3%. 4.3% unemployment. And this means there are fewer potential workers available to take jobs. Remember, if you're hiring somebody, you want to have a qualified person to take the job, right? Whether it be a skill set, whatever it may be, you need a qualified person. That pool, that labor pool, has been drained down dramatically through year after year after year of jobs growth. Millions upon millions of jobs over the last several years have been created. And as a result, that potential labor pool has been lowered. It's been lowered dramatically. And that's one of the things that's going on out there. That's very important. Because when you have a labor pool that has been drained down, as this one has, by new jobs, then that serves as a governor on your growth rate. Now, I know you hear these Washington types talking about GDP growth of 4, 5, 6%. This is nonsense. This is complete nonsense. You might see that in a quarter. Sure, you could see it in a quarter. For heaven's sakes, we just had a quarter at 1.2. So you can have a quarter, you can have a quarter at four, whatever. It doesn't matter, does it? Because you're looking at the annual rate of growth like last year. The year-over-year rate of growth came in right around 2%, which is where it's been stuck for many, many years, two and a small fraction. So this draining down of the labor pool serves as a governor on future growth. And that's one of the reasons that you have not been seeing an acceleration in growth, because the labor pool has dwindled. That may put pressure on wages, which is certainly something that could be a factor in future inflation. But it is not something that is going to result in some dramatic breakout in gross domestic product growth rate. It just doesn't work that way. And the average work week remains unchanged at 34.4 hours. 34 hours and 24 minutes is where it is. Now, average hourly earnings on a year-over-year basis right now are up 2.5%, but manufacturing average hourly earnings are only up 1.9% in the past year. The labor force in the month of April, make it May, the labor force in the month of May decreased by 429,000. The participation rate in the month of May dropped 0.2% to 62.7%. That is near the lowest participation rate since 1977. And the number of employed persons dropped by 233,000 in the month of May. As long as you see that pool of available labor shrinking, then you know it's very difficult for the economy to dramatically accelerate beyond 2.5% annual real growth. Now, the unemployment rate, known as underemployment, declined to 8.4% in May. That's the lowest level since November of 2007, which was right before the beginning of the 2008 housing-related recession. So that is what is going on out there. And these are dramatically important figures because these serve as the underpinning for the economy. It's very important to have population growth. We have extremely low population growth. It's looking like about 0.5%. You add productivity and inflation to that, that's where you get your nominal growth rate. And these numbers have remained at very, very low levels. What do we make of the fact that over the last 3 months, we have seen a decline in the average level of new jobs added in the economy? 121,000, that is the three-month average that we now have out of the Labor Department. I think one of the factors here is it's getting more and more difficult for employers to locate qualified workers. I certainly think that is a significant factor in what we are seeing. Now, if I'm right about that, with the unemployment rate now down to 4.3%, that means that this could be a trend that would go on and on and on. We shall see. But when you have a tighter labor market, when you have a harder time finding the person you want to hire, it's harder to grow your employment ranks. That could be what we're seeing. Just looking at the light vehicle sales figures that came out this week, and they did decline in the month of May 1.4%, and they have now declined in four of the last 5 months. They're running at an annual rate now, unit-wise, of 16.6 million. That's the lowest annualized unit rate of light vehicle sales since March of 2016. We see a trend in light vehicle sales, which is suggesting that inventory accumulation could be rearing its ugly head in the future. And if you get inventory accumulation, vehicles piling up on dealer lots, that has an impact on the future production rate of vehicles. Let's keep that front and center at all times. The domestic inventory to sales ratio right now looks like it's right around 3%, maybe a touch above 3%. That's domestic inventory to sales. And that is close to the highest level that has occurred during this economic expansion that has been underway for many, many years. The average, the historical average of domestic inventory to sales ratio is 2.58. We are not only above that, but we're close to the highest level in this economic expansion that we have been seeing for the last several years. Now, year over year, the sales rate has dropped 3.1%, led by the automobile sector, while the light truck sales increased by 2.9%. So some of this is buyer preference, less preference for automobiles, more preference for light trucks. And we'll keep an eye on this because this is one of several important sectors in the economy. We talked earlier in the broadcast about the Labor Department report on new jobs and the fact that we have seen a slowing in the new jobs figures in the last 3 months on an average basis especially. We also get another labor report, which is less followed, which is the ADP payroll report that came out Wednesday of last week. It showed 253,000 new jobs in May and a six-month average of 233,000. Now, one important note from the ADP report was that the report stated, quote, nearly three times the rate necessary to absorb growth in the labor force, unquote, was the pace of new jobs. Think about that. New job pace, nearly three times the rate necessary to absorb growth in the labor force. In other words, that report is showing new jobs over the last 6 months at a dramatically higher pace than is sustainable, because the workers, the qualified workers, are not out there. And this is consistent with what we said earlier, the fact that when you get the unemployment rate down to 4.3, where it is right now, you have slackened the labor force pool dramatically. And it becomes more and more difficult, A, to find qualified workers, and B, to avoid paying more for labor. Now, obviously, that's a great thing for those involved in robotics, those involved in automation, because they provide work-producing instruments that replace human workers. And as a consequence, many companies are able to save money by automating, by using technology, by using robots. And this is something that is a very significant factor going forward, because we are entering more and more every year the artificial intelligence age. And while we know where that's going, driverless cars, driverless buses, driverless trucks, and that's only the tip of the iceberg. We'll see how that all plays out going forward. Let's take a look at the week ahead, and in the canyons of Wall Street, this is what investors will be processing as the week moves forward. We will get the Purchasing Managers Index for services on Monday morning, 9:45 Eastern. And remember, readings above 50 are good news. They are expansionary reasons, readings, and that's what we'd like to see. So the estimate is that the PMI Services Index will be 54. Last month it was 53.1. So if it comes in there, all things are copacetic with PMI. We'll also get the ISM Non-Manufacturing Index. That'll come out 10 o'clock in the morning. And again, readings above 50 are good readings. The estimate is 57. Last month was 57.5. So these have been consistently pointing in the direction of continued economic expansion. And of course, it's been at a moderate pace, and there are benefits to that, as stock market investors have seen in recent years. Benefits to moderate growth. No question about that. On Thursday morning, we'll get the jobless claims update. This number for the past 2 years plus has been sensational. When we see readings under 300,000 a week, then we have a really, really positive reading from this indicator. Well, guess what? The estimate is this week it'll be 241,000. Last week it was 248,000. The four-week moving average is near record bottom areas, low areas. And this is the reason you've seen the jobs growth in recent years, millions and millions of jobs created. And the reason is because this jobless claims index has been in highly favorable territory going back over 2 years. And it has produced the jobs growth that we have seen. It's been symptomatic of the jobs growth that we have seen. So we have all of this on the docket this week, and should be an interesting week in a number of different ways as we move forward.